artha jnat, than one who knows the purpose of Vedas, samshaya, doubts, cheta, one who cuts off, tatha, than him, shreyan, better, swakarma, his prescribed duties, krit, one who executes, mukta sangha, liberated from material association, tatha, than him, bhuyan, better, adogda, not executing, dharmam, devotional service, atmana, for himself. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Better than the Brahmana who knows the purpose of the Vedas is he who can dissipate all doubts. And better than him is one who strictly follows the Brahminical principle. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination. And better than him is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward. Purport. Arthajna Brahmana refers to one who has made a thorough analytical study of the absolute truth and who knows that the absolute truth is realized in three different stages, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. If someone not only has his knowledge but is able to clear all doubts if questioned about the absolute truth, he is considered better. Further, there may be a learned Brahmana, Vaishnava, who can explain clearly and eradicates all doubt, but he does not follow the Vaishnava principles, then he is not situated on a higher level. One must be able to clear all doubts and simultaneously be situated in the Brahminical characteristics. Such a person who knows the purpose of the Vedas injunction, who can employ the principles laid down in the Vedic scriptures and who teaches his disciples in that way is called an Acharya. The position of an Acharya is that he executes devotion service with no desire for elevation to a higher position of life. The highest perfectional Brahmana is a Vaishnava. A Vaishnava who knows the science of the absolute truth but is not able to preach such knowledge to others is described as being in a lower stage. One who not only understands the principles of the science of God but can also preach is in the second stage. And one who not only can preach but who also sees everything in the absolute truth and the absolute truth is everything is in the highest class of Vaishnava. It is mentioned here that a Vaishnava is already a Brahmana. In fact, the highest stage of Brahminical perfection is reached when one becomes a Vaishnava. Om Ajnana Timarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruvi Shri Chaitanya Manopistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahi Tadati Svapadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhunityananda Shri Advaita Gadadara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Krishna. Very strong purport, as usual by Srila Prabhupada. So, Srila Prabhupada talks that a Brahmana in a true sense should know all the three aspects of absolute truth. The Brahman, Paramatma and the Bhagavan aspects of the Lord. And he also talks about the different levels of Vaishnava. Because in the last word he concludes by saying that A Vaishnava is a topmost Brahmana. And he also says that about the three levels of Vaishnavas. And in between also he talks about the definition of an Acharya. So Srila Prabhupada himself is a founder Acharya of ISKCON. And we can see slowly, you know, what we mean by that. And today, incidentally, is also a very auspicious day. Today is the appearance of Sripad Ramanujacharya, who is from the Sri Sampradaya. Actually, it is 1,000 years back. So Ramanujacharya was born in 1017, and we are in 2017. And also, the world will also move on to 3017. But we will be there in different bodies. Not in the same body. We would have taken some, at least some 200 births. Hopefully, if you're lucky, we may end up going to Krishna. Or, you know, if you have this material desires, you know, then we have to come back again to enjoy matter. A soul's permanent position is in union with the Lord, with absolute truth. But if the soul desires to enjoy matter, Krishna as a father, right? He has to facilitate that. So he has to house the soul in a particular bodies. Right? There are 8.4 million species. So we can pick and choose whatever we want. So the soul has to be housed, you know. It has to have a house to live in. So in the body is a house, which is made up of the three modes. So basically the body is a dress for the soul to interact with matter. See the intelligence of Krishna, you know, how he has done it. The soul cannot be happy in the material world. But the soul has a desire to enjoy matter. So he has to use the three modes of material nature to provide a dress for the material, for the living entities, who's a spirit soul. So the body is a dress for the soul to interact with the matter. And that dress consists of two dresses. Subtle dress and a gross dress. Unless these two dresses are dissolved, one cannot go back to Krishna. So it's a high level of understanding, you know. One has to dissolve. But between the gross body and subtle body, the subtle body is difficult, you know, to act properly on that. You know, say if I don't want to see someone, I can close my eyes, a little bit easier. But if I don't want to think of someone, it's relatively hard. The mind will think of something which we don't want to think. Very difficult. So that is why Krishna says in the 6th chapter that a mind can be a friend or an enemy. And one has to control the mind. Because mind is basically material nature. It is a product of material nature. Mind being the product of material nature is naturally attracted to matter. It's natural for the mind to get attracted to matter. So, one should go, that's what Krishna says, Traigunya Vishaya Veda Nishtraiguno Bhavarjuna. One has to go beyond the mental platform. Mental platform means what is mental platform? Duality, differentiation, man, woman, hot, cold, day, night. So, this duality has to change into equanimity, same, sama. Unless that stage is reached, it's very difficult to see everything equally. How can one see? Because the mind is a repository of what? Lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, attachment, illusion. The seven components is embedded in the mind. So unless one transcend or one go beyond the mind, it's very difficult. The first thing is lust. If the lust is not satisfied, you get anger. If the lust is satisfied, you get greed. So lust, anger, greed, they are the doors for the hellish planet. Very technical system. The way Krishna structured is very, very, very technical, you know. One who understands this is a science, Srila Prabhupada says. It's a science of Krishna consciousness. Science. One has to understand that systematically. Then it's very easy. Right? If a chemist, you know, go into a lab and he keeps mixing, you know, sulfur and oxygen and all that, what will happen? It will explode. Right? It's a science. So in the same way, spiritual is a science. You should know. Right? What we are. Right? What we are made up of. Who are we? Are we the body and soul? And then it's easier to perform devotion service. It's a very systematic process which Srila Prabhupada has given us. Mm-hmm. Anyway, going back into Sripada Ramanujacharya, he lived for 120 years actually. 120 years. Very, very, very powerful Vaishnava who established the Sri Sampradaya. So there are four Sampradayas, as you know, right? Sri and Rudra, Brahma, Madhava, Gaudiya Sampradaya, ours, and then the four Kumaras, the Sampradaya by the four Kumaras. So Srila Prabhupada says that one has to choose, you know, any of these four authentic Sampradayas. Otherwise, you know, it is not bona fide. So bona fide Sampradaya means it should come from the four. Right? It is not that someone, Acharya, can pop up like a mushroom and say that I am God. It is not possible. Right? An Acharya should also be a disciple before. And then he becomes a guru. And then Acharya, you know. An Acharya will not pop up like that. So one has to be very clear with this understanding. So, such a person, one who knows the purpose of the Vedas, Vedic injunction, who can employ the principles laid down in the Vedic scriptures and who teaches this disciples in that way is called an Acharya. The position of an Acharya is that he executes devotion service with no desire for elevation to the higher position of life. Someone was saying the other day that, I don't want to go in detail, that there is an Acharya, you know, in India, and we have to pay him for the mantra. You know? Some 5,000 rupees for one mantra. See, just imagine that it's becoming a commercial. Krishna consciousness become commercial. Right? And how it's going to work? Because if Srila Prabhupada has got money for that, then, then you know, without that also, it's going to be so powerful because it's very pure. Purity. Yeah? They're getting money for the mantra. How it is going to work? So I was just trying to understand this concept, you know. And people are going, flocking around, you know, because it's a very quick process in Kali Yuga, right? Everyone wants to do it very quickly. Right? Very quickly I want to achieve, you know, perfection. It's not possible. One has to work through. So, the absolute truth, so I'm just going backwards and forwards, is realized in three phases, namely Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan aspects. Now, in the previous verses, right, it is said that Kapila Muni is explaining to Devahuti, Mother Devahuti, that the different forms of life, living entities, right, and the consciousness of them. And he's talking about a lower species of life, which is animals, you know. And within animals, there are divisions, you know, one with many legs, with four legs and two legs and... It is said that better than the animal is human being who has got two legs like that. Now within human beings also there is division. There is division in human beings. So this has been explained in the previous verse that there are four divisions in the human society or social order. Right? As Krishna explains in the fourth chapter. Right? Chaturvarna Maya system. The Lord has created this, you know, form. The four kinds of social orders. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Sudra. Brahmana predominantly is in the mode of goodness. Then Kshatriya predominantly in the mode of passion. Then the Vaishya is a combination of passion and ignorance, and the Sudra is predominantly in the mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance means light, knowledge. That means they're able to see things as they are. One understands, yes, I'm not this body. I'm a spirit soul living in the body. Right? And everyone else also he sees in that, the differentiation. Right? Mode of knowledge. Because we're able to see things as they are. But in the mode of passion, is active and mixed. Sometimes yes, no. Because they're so much hammered by the material desires. Right? So material enjoyment, the desire to enjoy, you know, material facilities. It's mode of passion. You see in Melbourne, right? Everyone wants, you know, one house, two house, three house. It goes on. Mode of passion. The village life, Srila Prabhupada explains that it is a mode of goodness. If you go to the village, right? If at all any village exists in India, because they're all converting into, you know, real estate. So if at all village exists, and then you go and see that's mode of goodness. Right? Very relaxed and all that, you know. And then following the rules and regulations strictly. Then mode of ignorance means darkness. What can you see in darkness? Suppose if you turn off the light, we will not see each other. They don't know. So that is how this is going on, the present civilization. Fighting with each other. You are my enemy. You know? Everyone. So mad civilization. Darkness. Because everyone treats other person as enemies. And they fight. So this happens because of darkness, this mode of ignorance. And this mode of, Krishna explains that the mode of passion and ignorance, both are not conducive for devotion service. Because in the mode of ignorance, you go after sense gratification, mad rush for sense gratification. Then in the mode of passion, material facilities. Right? Both are going away from Krishna, Mahamaya. So in the mode of goodness, one understands, yes, this place, material world, is there is happiness, but it's mixed with suffering. Every happiness has got suffering behind. So what kind of life is that? So one understands that rather than enjoying matter, let me find out, you know, there is another enjoyment at a higher level. And for that, one should not act on the bodily platform. Right? Bodily platform means matter. Matter means how can one understand soul? So one has to go beyond that platform, the mode of goodness. Then one becomes a Brahmana, mode of goodness, beyond, one who knows Brahman. Right? One who knows Brahman, not one who knows material world. Beyond the material world, three modes, Brahman. Now, there is a catch also. As explained in the previous verse, in Brahman, actually, many Brahmanas are there, but they are attracted to the impersonal aspect of the Lord. Right? A very common example is given that when someone goes to a platform to see a train, you know, first, you know, a person absorbs a light. The train is coming. He sees the light. Yes, a train is light. So he walks away. This is impersonal aspect. Because the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, has got three aspects. Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan aspects. So this is like, you know, seeing the light of the train and making a conclusion. That's okay, Lord is light. Lord is 10,000 watt Philip lamp. Philips can make 10 watts. And if they, when they make 10,000 watts, then that is God. That is impersonal aspect. Then, there is a second group of people, little bit, you know, elevated. They see, yes, train means it's not only light, but it's got different compartments. There is something beyond light. Right? Something more. So this is termed as Paramatma realization, which is localized, you know. One knows that, yes, first of all, I'm not the body. I'm the spirit soul. In my body, there is also another supreme living, as Paramatma living with me. So I'm not alone. So why I should be fearful? Wherever I go, the Lord is coming with me. Right? So there is a soul and a super soul. Srila Prabhupada says, super soul. Paramatma is there, localized aspect. And the third one is Bhagavan. Is where you understand that everything is emanating from Him. This material world, it's not a word or it's not a sentence. Right? Everything, practically everything you see comes from Krishna. There is nothing which can exist separate from Krishna. Because all the elements you see in the material world, right, earth, water, fire, air, ether, this Krishna's material energy, the Lord says in the second, seventh chapter, Bhumi apo nalo vayukam mano buddhi evacha hankara ityame binna prakriti astata. There are eight material elements that is created by me, Krishna. So everything is stemming from that, coming from that. Right? The scientist, you know, the chemist, you know, they find lot of this zirconium, rare metal. You know, magnesium is good for your muscle, you know. Recently, you know, I mean, I don't know, it's a little bit, you know, the knee is a little bit aching, you know. Maybe I was thinking the posture or something, but actually I went a little bit deeper. And it is said that, you know, calcium deficiency, because of bone. Calcium, you have to take calcium, at least 600 mg of calcium. The doctor may be knowing, right? Per day the intake should be 600 mg of calcium. Do all of you take that? But they say, you know, otherwise you have a osteoporosis. They keep on changing, Prabhu. That's the problem with the material world. When we go to calcium, they say lithium. When they say lithium, they say magnesium. Then finally they'll come back. Why they have to do business? Because it's a material nature means changing all the time. They'll never stick on. But Krishna is not like that. 5,000 years back, Krishna said, "You are the spirit soul." In 1017, Krishna said, "You are a spirit soul." In 2027, also spirit soul. In 3017, also spirit soul. Krishna will not say, "Your body, no soul, no mind, intelligence, no, no." Same. That's why, you know, we learn. Because spiritual knowledge is good that, you know, like the unlike the computer technology, it doesn't change. You know, once you know Bhagavad Gita, you know it. There's no second version. Or there's no updated version. Right? Once you understand earth, water, fire, and ether, I'm the soul, Krishna is Supreme Lord, it's the same. So in that way, you know, we need not have to change our knowledge. And one book is okay, As It Is, by Srila Prabhupada, which gives a complete knowledge. So, the point being calcium. So, so I took calcium. In fact, that works actually. You know, so calcium, and then the bone is okay, you know. Otherwise it becomes brittle and also whatever they are saying. But where is that calcium coming from? From earth. And Krishna says, earth, bhumi, that's His creation. So it's coming from Him. Water, everything coming from Him. You know, everything, practically. So once Srila Prabhupada said, if the scientist wants to prove, right, that there is no God or something, let them create their own earth. Let them create their own water. And then let them experiment. Why do they have to take from Krishna when they deny the existence of the Lord? Make your own. And then try. You know what I mean? No, they want to bank on the Lord's material energy and say that there is no Lord. What kind of philosophy is that? Doesn't make any sense. So, like that, they keep on changing the material world. So, the problem with the science is that, right, they cannot find a solution to birth. They cannot find a solution to death. They cannot find a solution to old age. They can change the skin, okay? The wrinkles can be taken out. That's a maximum they can do. But internally, it's the same. The wrinkle is there. We remove the wrinkle. Then you become young. What about the body inside? That is still old. People are fooled, you know. How people are fooled, you know. That old age, they can remove the wrinkles. And all the material, the scientists can touch is disease. So they are very good with that disease. This is disease, you know, osteoporosis, or, you know, arthritis, you know, whatever disease. They name the new disease and make a new drug. And then the entire population is behind them. Yes, disease is cured. But why in the first place you have to get disease? Right? Why in the first place you have to get disease? Because by following them. Right? So, I am in the pharmaceutical, but slowly I'm withdrawing. So, what we make is, we make a cough syrup. And if you take a cough syrup, there will be acidity. Then we say, you take antacid. When they take antacid, you know, then they have diarrhea. Then they have diarrhea, you have to take styptic or something to stop, like that. So like that it goes on, it never stops. It once pops up like this, you know. So this is what we do, this is how the pharmaceutical is doing. So all they can touch is the disease. So with the disease they manipulate and say, yes, we are a cure for the disease. If they are real scientists, let them find a cure for birth, death and old age. They cannot do that. They've been telling for millions of years, right? They're not going to do that. So this is what it is, you know. And entire people are going behind that. Yes, I've got a disease, I'll cure this. But the disease will be there. It can be or may not be cured. But at the end, you know, one has to die. Those who are born has to die. And those who die has to be born back. Jata sihi dhruvam mrityu, dhruvam janma mrityascha. Second chapter he says. Because we are made up of material elements. We means, sorry, as a covering we are made up of. Because all the time we are saying we body, the mind is tuned to body, right? See, we as a spirit soul, we are covered by matter. So the body is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether. That's what it is. So this body, which is made up of the material elements, is created, maintained and destroyed. That is the fundamental principles of the material nature. Right? An apple is existing in the tree. Someone plucks it. Either he keeps it, it will destroy, or he eats it, convert it into a stool and finished. That's right. Everything will be created, maintained and destroyed in the material world. Nothing can exist. Only soul, Krishna explains in the second chapter, the properties of the soul. Right? The soul cannot be killed, cannot be moistened, cannot be cut into pieces. It's a fragmental part of the Lord. Tiny soul. Because we are very tiny, we are either controlled by the material energy or spiritual energy. See, we don't have a freedom, much freedom, as we think we are. Very, very tiny, right? So most of the time, 99% of the population is controlled by the material energy. Material energy means what? Acting on the body. That's material energy. One thinks that he's a body and acting, but in fact he is not. One thinks that I'm the mind and acting, he is not. Because mind is also matter. Then the question may be asked, if mind is matter, then how mind is thinking? Correct? This is matter, this is not thinking. But according to Krishna, mind is matter, but mind is thinking. How? Acharyas give an explanation that when electricity is passing through a wire, the wire behaves like a current, power, right? The moment wire is taken, the current is pulled out, then the wire is like a wire. So as long as a spirit soul is in this body, the mind acts as an illusory person, as a materialistic person. Very, very important point. Right? As long as a soul is there, the mind is a person. The mind for all practical purpose should be treated as a person. Acharyas are saying. Do not think that I ignore the mind. No, it is a person. Because it's an illusory person. It's acting as a person. But its mentality is to be attracted to matter. But the soul is a real person. So that's why Krishna says one has to subdue the mind. How do you subdue the mind? Through the senses. One has to subdue the mind. The senses has to be regulated and the mind has to be subdued. If the mind is not subdued, then it will act as an illusory materialistic person. You see everywhere, right? The mind is not controlled because they think they are the mind and the mind is matter. So all the time, you know, it wants to expand through the senses. That's the nature of the mind. As Jadabharat said in the 5th canto, the mind always wants to expand through the senses. It wants to see the movie. It wants to hear the songs. It wants to eat and other enjoyments. See, it always wants. So, what you should do? You should put everywhere, you know, blocks through Krishna consciousness. then the mind will not expand. Those who do not perform Krishna conscious, those who don't block their senses through Krishna consciousness, the mind will explode. And once the mind explodes, finish, forget it. Birth after birth only. Impossible to come back. Because they are already under the grip of Mahamaya. A devotee slowly, they're moving from Mahamaya to Yogamaya. So there is a good chance. Yesterday I was 98% in Mahamaya. Right? Today I will be 97.5 or 97.79. Tomorrow I will be 97.6. See, good chance. But other people, yesterday 100% Mahamaya. Today 102. Tomorrow 105. Because where is the world going? See, that is why devotees, we have a good chance. So as you progress, then Krishna will help you out. As you surrender, so I shall reciprocate. The Lord is saying. Everything is very clear in Bhagavad Gita. So if you immediately surrender to Krishna 100%, He will also surrender to you. He will also reciprocate with you. But the problem is with our surrender, isn't it? But nevertheless, Lord is giving time. He is not saying immediately surrender or finish Mahamaya. No, gradually. That is why the Varnashrama Dharma is there, as explained in the previous verse. Right? Varnashrama Dharma, not everyone is a pure devotee. Right? Four systems are there, four divisions. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Sudra. A Sudra is a laborer. He always wants to work and get money. Then the next higher level is Vaishya, who wants to do farming business, you know, banker, mercantile class. Above that is one who protects the nation, administrator, Kshatriya, bodybuilder. But gym builders are not Kshatriyas, mind. People put on big gym, you know, big body. They are not Kshatriyas. Externally Kshatriyas, but in the moment, you know, they don't go to the gym, they'll become a Sudra. So, you know, so don't go by the shoulders, you know, big Kshatriya. And then Brahmana. Someone has a big shoulder, it doesn't mean that, you know. He's a Kshatriya. Those days, you know, one should protect the country. Arjuna was a Kshatriya. And then above that is Brahmana. One who knows that, yes, this material world is not for me. Right? There's something beyond matter. Right? Because I try to enjoy the material nature and the material nature is reacting with me with the suffering. I try. Again, problem. Right? For example, you know, many years back, this is the times, you know, sometime 10, 15 years back, I like India when I go, I like the Pani Puri, you know. But the thing is, Pani Puri is not, these days it's in a big stall, but those days it will be in a small hut-like thing. You have to go there. Now it is everything commercial, they put Pani Puri as a big, you know, business, Pani Puri Private Limited and all that. But now, before, you have to, a small pan shop, you know, fellow will be having Pani Puri and he has to take. Then I used to try that. Then I take Pani Puri and then after one day's dysentery, loose motion. It's okay, taste is good. Then second time and after some time again I tried, again dysentery. Then something I related, okay, maybe there is something. Third time, confirmed, Pani Puri. Water, contamination from water. What, we don't know what water they use. You know what I mean? So, it is metal energy is like that. I try to enjoy the metal energy, it's reacting me with the suffering. Again you try to enjoy, again suffering. Oh. Material nature is a problem. The moment you try to exploit, the moment exploitation. So what happens? As a devotee, you get the skill of not a controller and not an enjoyer. See, what a foundation by Krishna. If you become a devotee, you will not enjoy the material nature, you will not control the material nature. Then what happens? No suffering. So how good is Krishna consciousness? Just by becoming a Krishna conscious, no suffering. And you understand that you are a soul, and not only that, end of the lifetime, you can go. There is no birth, death, old age, disease. Adi bhautik, adi atmik, adi devik. Seven kinds of suffering is eliminated just by becoming a devotee, and no future suffering. See? So material nature. So there is suffering in the material energy. There is no suffering in the spiritual energy. If you are in the spiritual energy, no suffering. Look at all the brahmacharis. They are in the spiritual energy. How happy they are, each one, you know. They are glowing. They are glowing. Look at me, I'm happy here. But it is short-lived. As I drive my car, my happiness goes down. And when I reach home, it is, you can say, it's in the, almost in the, it's going down. So this is how it is. So with Krishna means always happiness. Because the Lord is the parent of everyone. It's not only me, you. Everyone. Krishna is a child. We are the children of everyone. Krishna. Right? Now within devotees, you know, it will be a good spirit, and by loving each other, you know, one performs Krishna consciousness and they're very happy. This kind of an environment will not exist outside. Outside means three modes. Three modes means lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, attachment, illusion. It will be coming, you know. Only when you act as a servant of Krishna, then the mind will be peaceful and it will be okay. Because in the mode of passion, the mind is very active. I want to do this, I want to do this, I want to teach this, I want to teach my children, I want to, they want to go to the swimming, they want to... The whole thing, you know, mind of passion. Ignorance means completely, you know, prohibited activities. One would like to take meat, one would like to drink, you know, completely prohibited activities. And the suffering is too much, you know. Because slowly as you are in the mode of ignorance, your consciousness goes down. The mental energy binds you. Like for example, you take a cloth and just try to go near the rose tree, you know, the tree. First, you know, the cloth will be stuck to one thorn, correct? Then you pull it over this side, it will get stuck to another thorn. And slowly, the whole fabric, the cloth will be stuck to the iron, to the thorn in the rose tree, right? You know what I mean? Have you done that? Sometimes I do well, plucking the flowers, right? You take a plastic bag and finally the plastic bag will be stuck. We have to take the flowers and... Because all thorns are there, you know. In the same way, the mental energy is like that. In the mode of ignorance, meat eating, intoxication, illicit sex, gambling, it binds you. And that's it. One cannot come out. You know, they have their own, you know, binding, and it's insurmountable grip. Krishna explains in the 14th chapter, the three modes has got an insurmountable grip. It will not leave you life after life. So Krishna consciousness is a natural way to come out. By attachment to Krishna is naturally come out. Because in the old Vedic system, there are two-step process. One has to know that he's a spirit soul, and then you have to do devotion service. But now Krishna consciousness is a single-step process. By coming to Krishna, automatically, you know, you are away from matter. That is the process. Then, let us see here. So the three levels of Vaishnava. We talked about Brahman, about Brahmana who knows Brahman. Now in the Brahminical stage, right? If you are a Brahmin, then there is a side effect that you may be attracted to the impersonal aspect. That is understanding that Krishna is not a person; he's a light, right? And then you may be sidetracked, and then that's it. You're lost. It's something like, say for example, I want to study masters in some chemistry or something, you know. And then I go to the school. Then after the VCE, people say, hey, you'll get a job, don't worry. You know, you'll get $30 per hour and all that, you know. So I'll discontinue my studies in VCE. Then that is like Brahman realization. You're supposed to study masters, but you come out. That's it. Then where do you get after? You may get a nice job for a few years. And then what happens? You have to lose job and then you have to suffer. Then the Paramatma realization is beyond that, Brahman, where you understand that Lord is a person. So I'll try to reciprocate with the Lord because he's a person. And I try to think of him. You know, this is localized aspect, Paramatma. That is like going to a graduation. Someone says, why do you want to do graduations much better than VCE? So they do a graduation. And then higher than that is Bhagavan, where you know that the Lord has also got an abode. And in his abode, there is no birth, death, old age, disease. He's living in that place. I want to go there. Like before, some 20 years back, I didn't know that Australia was existing. The first time when I told my father, I'm going to Australia, he said, you're going to a place where there's cow dung? I said, why not? Because he said, he had heard about dairy industry. My father wants to discourage me. He said, what is there in Australia? It's only cow dung. Because, I mean, that is his way of, you know. I said, fine, I'll go and make some, you know, some chemical from that. Like that. You know, like that. So, I didn't know. And coming here, it's a place. And people are living there. And, you know, Krishna consciousness is there. In the same way, in the supreme abode, the Lord is living with the devotees. But there, people will follow what Krishna says. Everyone follows the order of Krishna. But in the material world, no one wants to listen to Krishna. I have got my mind. I know what to do. I am independent. This is how the material energy gives us. Right? Material energy means it gives a separate existence from Krishna. I am separate. I know what I should do. Because that's the nature of the mind. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Avanti Brahmana is saying, from the time immemorial, all the senses come under the control of the mind. But the mind itself doesn't like to be controlled. This is the nature, very nature of the mind. Avanti Brahmana is saying, after going through a lot of steps, then he's saying, that mind, how can I control? I will control that mind by submitting at the lotus feet of Krishna, just like the previous acharyas. That's the only way. There's no other way to control the mind. You can try. No other way. The only way is following the footsteps of the previous acharyas. Just to control the, submit the mind at the lotus feet of Krishna. You can have a lot of plans. That's not going to work. That is how the material nature is created. Independent existence. Separate from Krishna. Once you know that you are separate from Krishna, where is the question of servant? Where is the question of servitude? And where is the question of devotion service? Right? If you know that you are a soul, yes, you are connected to Krishna, you are a servant, right? But if you know that you are separate from Krishna, then where is the question of Krishna is separate, someone is just imaginary figure, and I am separate, I am here living in Australia, enjoying the material energy. So there is no relation, there is no meaning to devotion service or Krishna consciousness. Okay, that's the three level. And then in the next paragraph down, Srila Prabhupada talks about the three levels of devotees. What are the three levels? The first level is Kanishta. Kanishta devotee means they are also devotees of the Lord. But when they come to the temple, they pray to the Lord and they think they are independent. They do not have any relationship with other devotees. In that way, they don't make progress. Okay, I'm coming. I've got a relationship with the Lord. Yes, good. Krishna, and they go away. They don't make any relationship with Krishna. So Krishna says they are lower class and they are known as materialistic devotees. You know, they are devotees, they come, they want something and they go away. You know, just fine. I did my business, you know, materialistic devotee. Then the second class is Madhyama. Right? In the Madhyama, what happens is a devotee, right, he is better than the Kanishta, right? He studies the scriptures and he wants to preach. Okay? Now while preaching, what he does is, he differentiates between the envious and the innocent. He doesn't preach to the envious people. If someone is very much, you know, envious of Krishna, then he just leaves them, gives them prasadam, whatever may be. We'll come back to you later. You are not a good customer for me. But if someone is innocent, you know, they want to know about Krishna. They don't want to stop the cycle of birth and death suffering. Right? I don't want to be in illusion thinking I'm happy. But actually I'm suffering. Right? Many people, you know, they get, you know, so many dollars, 100,000, all that. But internally suffering. They have a big house, husband and wife and all that. But internally they don't even talk to each other. Is that happiness? But unlike in India Vedic system, a small house family, they have a combined family, everyone is happy, you know. There will be one cooking only kitchen. Here, if there are, you know, Husband and wife, there are two. I know a family where husband cooks separate, wife cooks separate. Have you seen this? I know. One of the members is coming to a bharti viksha because. So I know. Because of course, obviously, that is a valid reason. Because he wants to be a devotee, wife is not very favorable. So she, of course, a vegetarian, but she puts something else also, onion, garlic, which he does, cannot do it. So separate kitchen. So these days, when people are going to buy houses, they are saying, do we have like two bathrooms, two kitchens also? Why? Tomorrow if there is a problem, then both of us in the same house, but we cook separately. What is this? Another day I met a lawyer. You know, I was talking to him. Then he was saying, you know what, these days, you know, too much law is too much. I said, what happened in Australia? We have to learn a lot. Why? Because what's happening is with this people now, they're entering into a contract that before marriage, they want to divide their properties. I said, after marriage, it's okay. No, because what happens is, in case if they have a divorce, they have a smooth one. Why do they think of divorce before marriage? No, that is how it is. No, it's a fact. He told me. What is it? I don't know the actual nuptial arrangement, you know. Nuptial arrangement. I don't know. Some word he said. Who remembers all that? I don't even know most of the verses in Bhagavad Gita. Why could I remember all that? I might rather believe that. Right? Nuptial arrangement where the property of that, because husband is earning 80K, wife is earning 60K, they have a, they have a fear. Tomorrow after marriage, if you take my money and run away, what will happen to me? Or if you take the money, husband will think of wife will. So basically they have an arrangement where, you know, after marriage, yes, this house belongs to me, that house belongs to me. In that way, if there is a disagreement, it is going to be anyway in Kali Yuga. Without Krishna conscious, there will be disagreement. Because each one thinks that they are the center. Husband thinks that he is a center. Wife thinks he is a center. Both will fight, divorce. Simple process. So lawyers are increasing. Yeah, you will not believe, in the La Trobe University, the number of graduates are doing lawyers increased. They're saying, how in Flinders there are a lot of mushroom centers, right? Mushroom teaching centers. They are planning to have a lawyer degree. Because everyone wants diverse. Every in the material world in future, if you talk, finished. You know, so you have to go to a lawyer. So all the candidates are studying for lawyer. I'm not telling you jokes. It is a fact. But the fact looks like a joke, but it's serious facts. So lawyers are increasing now. They don't want accountant now. Lawyers. So what is this? So before marriage, they're thinking of divorce and property. Before buying a house, they want two kitchens. And the toilet is inside the kitchen. I've seen many houses. Toilet, where is the toilet? Come to the kitchen. I said, no, I don't want to come to the kitchen. I want to come to the toilet. The toilet is inside the kitchen. I said, in the olden days, I remember when I was young, in Coimbatore, we have a house and the toilet is away. You know, and next to the toilet, we have this, those days, there is no overhead tanks, We have a pot. And, cement pot, and in that water will be kept. So after toilet, we have to wash and come inside. This is a culture we had. Now toilet, left and right, people are going to the toilet and all that, with the socks, without socks, everything, and they go in the altar also. This is a kind, what can you do? The culture I'm saying, Right? Absolutely, Kali Yuga means everything is topsy-survey. Completely different. No one following anything. Right? So what kind of brahmanas can you expect now? You know what I mean? So this is custom. And the last one is Uttama Adhikari. Uttama Adhikari knows, right? He sees everyone as part of Krishna. So he does not have enemies. He sees everyone is engaged in Krishna service. Even a person who is engaged in materialistic activity, also he thinks that, yes, he is serving the Lord's material energy. He sees everyone engaged in the Lord's service. This is Uttama Adhikari. They are all the gurus of ISKCON and all Srila Prabhupada Acharya. They have the vision, right? Everyone they see, yes, you are very nicely engaged in Krishna's activities. And whoever is envious, they don't touch upon. Whoever is very innocent, they have got an attitude to know about Krishna. Then they will preach to them. Right? Now, quickly, one or two examples. I just thought, during the last days of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, for people who don't know, newcomers, are you coming for the new time, first time, Prabhu? Now, this is our Acharya, if you see, you know, just for newcomers. You know, this is our founder, Acharya of ISKCON. We have got centers all through the world. You know, anywhere you go, you can see ISKCON, and Krishna will be there with Radharani. You can worship. Now, our founder Acharya's guru is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, and his guru is Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, and his guru is basically Bhakti Vinod Thakur. Now, I'm just giving a small clippings from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. He's a pioneer of Krishna consciousness, because 250 years back, you know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a one who started this Krishna conscious movement. But after 250 years, what happened? Because of the material nature means it keeps covers. You know, slowly you'll forget things, right? And then it just covers everything. So, 250 years back, Krishna consciousness completely gone. No one knows Krishna. People all were doing all illicit activities and all that. Now, Bhakti Vinod Thakur came and re-established Krishna consciousness. He's a pioneer of the movement. Now, during the time, when during the last stages of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, once he was invited to talk on a Brahmin association in Bengal. He could not go. So he requested his son, who is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami, who is a guru of our founder Acharya. He said, "Oh son, I cannot go, you go to the Brahminical community and then, you know, give some lecture." And as you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj Goswami is a very learned scholar, Brahmana, you know, very, very, very smart, very intelligent. Then he said, "Okay, I'll take the orders of my father." You know, and then he went. First, when he went to the Brahmin, at the time, those people were following impersonal aspect of the Lord. They're not devotees of Krishna. You know, devotees of Krishna means they consider Krishna as a form. They know the understanding that Krishna is has got a form. He's a person, and we have a loving exchange with Krishna. That is what the devotees act upon. Now, the person. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, when he went and addressed the person, these persons are impersonalist, you know. They think that Krishna does not have a form. He's just light. So first, you know, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj, he just spoke to them and he said, now India is a developing country and all that. There is no dearth of any material things, but there is shortage of Brahmins. Right? So all were very happy. Oh, Brahmins. Then, and also, you know, we see that you're all good Brahmins, you know, you're engaged in nice activities. Brahmins culture is very important for India. Otherwise, you know, our Britishers, you know, has introduced this materialism and it'll go to dogs, things like that. They were all appreciating. Then he said, then slowly he said, "Brahmin is not by birth, it is by qualification." Then the persons were slightly agitated. Then he kept on saying, "By how? It is not just by birth you become a Brahmin. Right? It's a qualification. So one has to cultivate. And how to cultivate that? He quoted all the 18th chapter Krishna gives. What are the qualifications of a Brahmana? You know, one has to be patient. One has to be, you know, control the senses and things like that. You know what I mean? So he was explaining all that. So the Brahmin did not like it. Those Brahmins, they were actually, you know, quite wild and they almost started like a fight. Basically, so what I'm trying to say is, people may be Brahmin, as explained the previous verse, right? But they do not have any understanding about the personal aspect of Krishna. One, then a Brahmin has to be peaceful. The moment Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj said Brahmins by birth, they got agitated, they got angry. You know, you understand? See how they're reacting. He has to be peaceful. See, one, you get peaceful nature only by chanting Krishna's name, by doing, you know, devotional service to Krishna, who is completely spiritual. He's not material, completely spiritual. So we have a process of chanting Hare Krishna mantra every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. By chanting, naturally the mind becomes peaceful and one can act in a very peaceful manner. So that, I mean, I'm trying to explain that how, you know, they got agitated and they were almost ended up in a fight. Then he has to go away, Bhakti Siddhanta Maharaj. So there are different categories also. And then in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, there is a quick story where one of the Brahmin, you know, he was doing austerities, very good austerities. He will eat only fruits and milk, that's it. No grains, throughout his life, very strict. But he wanted to see the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu during that time, 500 years back. Then this man has invested Srivas Prabhu, you know, that I want to see Lord Chaitanya, please, you know, help me out. He said, okay, hide somewhere else. Then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, again, as usual, one of the days when he was in ecstasy, he was saying, why am I not feeling? Something is hindering me. What is that? Then they said, one of the Brahmana is there. He called the Brahmin. He said, you know, come on. I don't want you. Just go out. He said, no, I'm a Brahmin. He said, you're a Brahmin, but you don't want to do any service to Krishna. See, service to Krishna is very important. Because you don't have that, I don't want you. Then he apologized and all that, you know. And then because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, he took up devotion service to Krishna and became a devotee. So the point, underlying point is, one can claim that he's a Brahmana, but the qualification is very important. Is he peaceful? Is he able to control his senses? Is he happy? No? These are some of the criteria, you know, which Krishna explains in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, we will stop here. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any quick questions or comments?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you for a very nice class. You want to tell something about Ramanujacharya?
Ramanujacharya, I did mention a few lines that Ramanujacharya was born in 1017, 1000 years, you know, since then. Now it's 2017, right? Yeah, appearance day, yeah. This is 2017, correct? Ramanujacharya was born in 1017. So 1000 years back. And he is a founder acharya of, you can say, Sri Sampradaya. Right? There are four Sampradayas, you know. Sri Sampradaya from Lakshmi. Then Rudra Sampradaya from Lord Shiva. Then Brahma Madhava Sampradaya from Brahma. And the Kumara Sampradaya from the four Kumaras, the sons of Brahma. So these are the four authentic Sampradayas one has to follow Krishna consciousness. If someone wants to do devotion service to Krishna, you have to be in one of the four sampradayas. Otherwise, you know, it's only cheating. Everywhere is cheating only, you know. They're not, you will not be connected to the proper sampradayas. And Ramanujacharya lived for 120 years, you know. And they say that, I mean, I don't know in detail, that Ramanujacharya is an incarnation of Shesha, right? Ananta Shesh. He's very empowered, you know. And then Ramanujacharya also had a boon where he can die any time he wants. Do we have that boon? First of all, we don't know. We don't know when we are going to die. Ramanujacharya, any time he can die. For example, I want to die now. The soul can leave and that's it. He had that boon because of devotion service. So in devotion service, we can achieve anything, you know. Okay, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.